Our scripture lesson this morning is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've said this more than once. I believe that being a parent and now a grandparent has taught me more about God than any book I ever read. And Lindsay, I can say this because I'm not provisional now, even more than 3 years of theology school. Lindsay still has to go before the board. She's going to be a full elder. When's your goal to be a full elder?
I'm going before the board in about a month.
All right, pray for her. But I've learned more about God being a parent and a grandparent more than any book I ever read. More than 3 years of theology school. Looking through a parent's eyes, I came to truly realize that the don'ts or the thou shalt nots of God is not a power play by God. They're not meant to stifle the enjoyment of life. In fact, the don'ts or the thou shalt nots are actually intended to protect God's children. Hence, though the religious leaders by Jesus' day had terribly distorted the law was actually for the benefit of God's children had they listened. My guess for all of us parents, every rule we ever mandated was intended for one of two things. Either our children's protection or our children's character development. And when we did have to discipline them because they broke the rules, we didn't receive any joy in their suffering. Odds are we suffered more than they did because we endured their failure and their anger at us as they did not understand our motivations. So it is with God. So it is with our Heavenly Father. To be honest, that never sank in my mind or my heart until I became a parent. And I never had any clue about the love of God until I became a parent. Oh, I could write papers on it. I knew all the theological terms. I could speak the language describing God's love. In a sense, I even believed in the love of God for everybody but me. But when I became a parent, I started comprehending what grace is. I started comprehending what agape is. In my heart, I caught a glimpse of how God loves us, not because of what we have to offer God. I had a lady get so mad at me one time when I used this example in a Bible study, but let's face it, When you bring home a baby, what do you bring home? Screaming, crying, burping, pooping, wetting, getting up in the middle of the night. That's what a baby is. But yet we love that crying, screaming, feeding, I want fed, pooping apparatus with all of our hearts. Being a parent gave me a glimpse of what it is to love unconditionally. To do all of the giving without any guarantee that any of it would ever be returned. And thus the contrast of love celebrated in the middle of this month versus the love of God. The love of Valentine's Day is a reciprocal love. It's a love that begins very often, can we be honest about it, with a physical attraction? And then a chemistry develops. And then we begin to think, well, my life might be better if I spend my life with this person. But Valentine's Day love, as I said, is reciprocal. I don't want a show of hands this morning, okay? But as you look in the mirror, when you got married, what was probably the main thought besides physical stuff? How I am going to benefit by being married to this person. Now, I'm not saying it's 100%, but I imagine if we're honest, that was a predominant thought for a lot of us. I must confess. Don't anybody else raise their hand, but I must confess. I saw one hand back there, but I'm not going to say who. What I do premarital counseling, particularly for younger couples, I have two questions I like to ask. The first question I ask is, what do you expect to get out of this marriage? And boy, they can rattle it off. And then I say, okay, that's great. Now, what are you going to bring? Now, to be fair, some can give me some very good answers. But you would probably laugh at the number of the deer in the headlights look that I get. Valentine's Day love is a reciprocal love. And sadly, in our culture, if one's Valentine fails to meet their expectations, they throw that one away and go looking for another. But thankfully, it's not so with God. The entire record of the Bible is God's pursuit of a loving relationship with humanity. That's why creation occurred. And throughout the entire record of the Bible, God loves humanity, and humanity disobeys, and they ultimately have to suffer the consequences, but then they're always brought back home. In the New Testament, God is born as a baby, grows to be the man known as Jesus the Christ, who shows us and tells us what love is. He endures a fake trial, suffers an unjust death, and rises in victory over sin, evil, and death. Why go to all that trouble? Because God loves us. And now, if we surrender our lives to God, God declares that we become, y'all know this is one of my favorite terms, co-heirs of Christ's glory. And it's all possible because of the love that originates in God, as John said in 1 John 4:10. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, if we do grasp the incredible love God has for us, what do we do with it? Well, John tells us quite simply in verses 11 and 12 of our scripture lesson. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. You know, unlike the parent and child relationship where the child very often does have a chance to reciprocate at least a portion of the love they received from their parents, how does one reciprocate love to God? The only real way is loving each other. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. So this morning, as we receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, I hope we do so praying a two-point prayer. Regardless of how long we've been a Christian, I think we all do well if we gain a greater sense of God's love for us. Another one of my favorite sayings came from one of the early church fathers. God loves you as if you're the only person He ever created, yet God is able to love everyone with that intensity at the same time. I hope you come praying for a greater sense of how much God loves you. Not humanity, how much God loves me. And then secondly, as we realize that love of God for me, may we rise from this altar having prayed that God might show us how to reciprocate our love for God by loving others. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank you for loving us, even though we don't have a thing to offer You, because the reality is whatever we offer You, You first gave to us, and so we're really just giving back. But gracious Lord, there's an old silly saying that we have said far too often, I could be a good Christian if it wasn't for the people. But Lord, You have taught us that's what our faith is, loving You by loving others. So as we receive Your sacrament this morning, remind each of us, regardless of how long we've loved and served You, remind us in a greater way of how much You love us. And then may we rise with a heart overflowing and a desire to love You by loving others. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. You'll find your liturgy for Holy Communion on the inside pages of your bulletin insert. I do remind you.